Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Aledio.com Sports Station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the Radio.com app. 1250 AM and 105.7 FM The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Yes, it is. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakery from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. He's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath in for Bart Winkler, who will return to us in a few short days. 414-799-1250. Tweet at us. 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram. Anything you missed today and every day, you can catch at the radio.com app. Speaking of radio.com, our buddy Eli Hershkovich from Radio.com Sports, he's their betting insider. He's going to join us in about 10 minutes from now, and we're going to talk a little college football, some pro football, and I want to know how our future bet for Deshaun Watson. Bart and I threw in a couple bucks, took a future, got some good odds on Deshaun Watson as our NFL MVP. We were pretty much told by Ross Tucker from Radio.com Sports that we're idiots because he can't stay healthy, he gets banged around too much, that offensive line doesn't protect him. I want to see what Eli has to think about that, because when I think Deshaun Watson, I think he's going to be elite, but not quite there. Freems, what do you think is an elite quarterback? Like, a guy that could just win you games or what?
Yeah, I mean, a guy who's going to go out there and you don't have to hold your breath when he's out there getting the job done. I mean, it's easy to point out. You could tell a guy's an elite. A guy's going to lead his touchdown drives. He's going to move the football, pass, you know, got a little bit of spiral on his ball, can run the offense. Doesn't look like he's crapping his pants out there when he's running an offense. Aaron Rodgers, man, checks all the boxes of an elite quarterback.
That should be in the job description. Doesn't crap his pants when he's out there.
Hundley. Okay, you saw Hundley a couple of years ago. Didn't know what he was doing out there. I mean, but this is the Packers' fault. That was the Packers' fault for putting him in that position. When Rodgers got hurt in Minnesota a couple of seasons ago, then they had to go with a guy against a division rival on the road, nationally televised game, who was never in that situation ever in his life, and now we're expecting him to make some plays. So he pretty much threw that game away. Just a stupid call. Just a dumb decision by Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy. Just an arrogant, pompous decision to go with a guy who they want to groom in their system as their backup quarterback. That's what the quarterbacking league around the league is like. But you got a guy like Aaron Rodgers, man, who's going to go out there and hit his receivers, make very few mistakes. You know, when people come at him for not throwing enough interceptions, that he doesn't take enough chances, I want that in my quarterback.
Yeah, you want to take care of the ball. Even Brady, 11 interceptions is a lot, man. You don't see elite quarterbacks throwing double-digit interceptions now.
Aaron's got to take more chances. What? So you want more pick sixes? No. Want a guy out there who's not going to make the big mistake. And if that means, I like to see him throw the ball away, take less sacks, that would be nice. But you know, the fact that he doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, that's a good thing.
414-799-1250. You could also tweet at us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, like the Grizzled One did. He says, is Aaron Rodgers an elite quarterback? Is this a trick question? All of Bears Nation knows all too well that he is and always will. And the Grizzled One is a Bears fan. He's one of the few that I actually enjoy following on Twitter. I like his interaction. And he really loves the Bears, and he really hates Aaron Rodgers. So I think that says everything.
So, Harvey, what is the reason why somebody would say, other than that writer, would say he's not an elite quarterback?
Ooh, well, it was a rough season, and the Packers have missed the playoffs the last 2 years. Okay. They haven't beat the Detroit Lions in 2 years. They're 0-4 against the Lions in the past 2 years.
Okay, who's been quarterback in those games?
Well, right, Deshaun Kizer.
Okay.
Had a little...
Okay.
Well, actually, Rodgers has lost to the Lions, too.
Well, yeah, early in the season. Yeah, that was not a good moment.
414-799-1250.
Also played crappy in Detroit.
And that's the thing. Like Tom Brady.
And Crosby couldn't hit a field goal.
I just read Tom Brady's numbers. And I mean, while he won the Super Bowl, he wasn't excellent in that Super Bowl. I mean, his defense was excellent. They had a great game plan for the Rams. But I don't know, man. 414-799-1250. Leighton joins us. He wants to defend Aaron Rodgers, I believe. Leighton, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Leighton. Leighton.
Leighton.
Leighton. Grange. Ramsey. College,
all right.
Drexel.
That's your one shot today.
Ryan
Leighton.
Road.
One
Highway 20.
One call.
7 Mile Road.
That's all, Leighton. 414-799-1250. Also, we put a poll question. Not a poll question. I'm just so used to saying poll question because, in fact, it's funny, Freems. All the other producers are like, what is it? They come into work and they're like, what is it with you guys and your show and these poll questions?
Oh, we do like 50 of them tomorrow.
We do. But we put up a Twitter Tuesday question, and it's your chance at $20 to eat at Perkins. Are you enjoying this season of Brewers baseball? Why or why not?
And for people who complain about us having too many Twitter questions, we're just trying to have some fun.
So you still got about an hour to answer that question, try to win yourself some Perkins. We got to go back to Perkins, you, Bart, and I.
Well, I offered the next time we go to pay.
I did. Really?
Well, I did. You were here. I told you and Bart. I said, oh, next time we go, I'm in. I'll foot the bill for it. And, we haven't made a day yet, but when Bart gets back, the offer still holds for both of you guys.
Well, I'm definitely in. Anything that's free, I'm in. And I love some Perkins restaurant and bakery.
I saw a Perkins on my way back from, I think I was in, like, yes, Menominee, Michigan at the time. Or it might have been Marinette. Might have been just over the bridge in Marinette. They're like neighboring cities. Bill always does a show from up there.
Yeah, I know that.
And I saw Perkins. Parking lot was Phil.
That's pretty much the only place you could eat in Iowa is Perkins. So I have a lot of experience with Perkins restaurant and bakeries. Is Aaron Rodgers an elite quarterback? Should we throw down a couple bucks for him to win an MVP here in 2019? Radio.com sports betting insider Eli Hershkovich joins the show next. It's Chuck and Winkler on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bart Winkler out for the remainder of the week. He'll rejoin the squad on Monday. Chuck Freeman in his regular spot. I'm Ryan Horvath trying to fill the big shoes of the Bart Winkler. On the line, radio.com sports betting insider Eli Hershkovich. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post the job today at indeed.com/hire. Eli, thanks for joining us, bud.
Thanks for having me on, guys. It's a little weak of Bart to just miss a show because he had a kid, right? I have no respect for that.
Yeah, especially when we're talking about gambling, man. This is like one of his favorite. I mean, it's all of our favorite subjects, actually. It's
exactly.
And it's that time of the year for this.
No question. And I believe he only bets a dollar on games, too. Didn't he bet a dollar on the Bucks to win the NBA Finals? So,
he did.
Once again, zero respect for Bart.
All right, now we get to the NFL season here. I mean, do you look at any now I never used to get into these, but now I'm starting to. Like, you know, division winners, maybe dark horses to win the Super Bowl. I was looking over the weekend, and I saw both the Bears and the Browns. Pretty good buy-in number if you want to take a chance at them going to the Super Bowl or winning the Super Bowl title. I mean, you can always go with the favorites, but, I mean, I thought those guys had some pretty nice prices.
Yeah, you know what's incredible about the Bears? And you would think, being from Chicago, I'm a Bears fan. It's not really the case. My fandom's gone at this point. But you look at the prices out in Vegas specifically, and that's where the Bears are getting the most action, and it's Caesars. And the Bears are tied for the shortest odds to win the NFC at 4-1. And not only that, but they have 9-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. That's higher than the Eagles in both respects. So we'll get to the Browns in a second, but specifically on the Bears, it's incredible to me, and I get it at Caesars Palace out in Vegas. A lot of Chicago fans, so you're getting a good amount of Chicago action on your respective teams. Also Mitchell Trubisky now all the way up to 22-1 to win the NFL MVP, which is just a separate conversation. It's ridiculous that I understand it comes with the caveat that you're getting action specifically from Chicago fans, but for the Bears price on the NFC and Super Bowl futures to move up at that kind of movement, I'm not a fan of it. I don't see the value in taking Chicago right now at all in either of those regards. And again, I get they have the majority of their defense back, with the exception of Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator, out and Chuck Pagano in. And a lot of people expect, similar to the MVP bet, Mitchell Trubisky to take that step up. I'm not seeing it for either one of those futures. There's no value, and to me, it's not worth making a bet on either.
Eli, what is your favorite future? Make us some money.
It depends on where you're shopping around and where you're getting the number. But I'm looking at Eagles around 14-1 to win the Super Bowl. I'm a big fan of that one. And I was waiting to buy on Eagles futures until they got a capable backup quarterback, especially with the injury a couple weeks ago. And that really hampered their depth behind Carson Wentz. And you think about a quarterback that's not only been hurt the past couple of years, but was hurt in the preseason in his rookie year. So I was waiting for them to get a backup quarterback. Of course, they ended up getting the former Chicago Bear, Josh McCown. And to me, that was enough to buy down on Eagles futures, especially in the Super Bowl market. You add Malik Jackson to that defense, one of the better defenses in football, and then offensively, you had DeSean Jackson, a deep threat for Carson Wentz, Alshon Jeffrey, a deep threat in his own regard, but still a possession receiver. You have Aguilar, you get Sanders in the mix there too. Really one of their only backs over the last few years, and I get it's just the preseason, but that can create yards after contact. We haven't seen that from Eagles backs, even from the likes of Jay Ajayi. A couple of years ago. So I really like the Eagles' futures, and it adds confidence to the bet to me if Carson Wentz goes down, because, again, you have that capable backup in McCown.
Talking with Eli Hershkovich, you can find his work at radio.com/sports, and we'll get into your show here in a second, but I'm looking at these NFL Week 1 lines. I usually like to stay away from Week 1, although I can't, just because it's tough to lay down a lot of scratch. I feel like there's always dogs barking on Week 1. And I look at that 3.5, the Bears favored 3.5 that Thursday night at Soldier Field against the Green Bay Packers. Why do I feel like they're trying, everybody's going to be on the Bears side, like they're just trying to get me? That 3.5, that hook, it just has me a little confused. What are you looking at that Week 1?
Yeah, I'm on the Packers. I already bet that one at 3.5. It's at some books, it's priced around 3, so the hook is gone. But the hook for me is an easy grab. And just looking at specifically the Bears' kicker position, you just saw them cut one of their kickers over the weekend. What, they've missed 2-3 field goals so far the preseason?
Yeah.
And how can you bank on, especially with that hook, with the Bears laying 3.5 points, if this game comes down to a field goal, that you have confidence in a Bears kicker right now? The fact that Joe Ostrowski from The Score, who's also a host of You Better, You Bet, tweeted this out over the weekend. It's been 200-plus days since Cody Parkey missed that kick against the Eagles in the wild card game, and you still don't have a kicker that you're confident in Chicago. It's incredible to think about, and it sounds even weirder to say, but yeah, especially with that hook, I get the Packers are playing on the road, and it's a revenge spot for the Bears after losing in the opener in Green Bay last season. But that Packers defense, to me, you want to talk about positive regression on the defensive side of the ball. I know people have questions about whether Aaron Rodgers will click in a new offensive system. I'm not too worried about that. Best quarterback in the NFL. But defensively, I see positive regression in the turnover department for the Packers, and I think it starts in Chicago that night.
See, the Bears are the 3.5-point favorite. I either look at this like, hey, you know, they're trying to sucker you into taking the points in Green Bay, or they know something here, because, you know, if this game is played at Lambeau Field, I can see the Packers being, a 3-point favorite or 4-point favorite. But I just thought maybe in Chicago would be maybe like a 6-point favorite in this game. I'm just surprised the defending division champs, they're 12-4. Packers with some question marks yet, that Chicago would only be a field goal favorite in this game.
Yeah, and you think about how Vegas rates these teams, right? I don't really look at it as Vegas knows something, because, well, that's the perception really around in the sports betting market is, well, Vegas knows that, when a team is a 3-point dog or a 4-point dog, they're trying to lure you in to a bet, and then they'll cash on the other way. But again, when you're looking at this matchup, to me, especially on the defensive side of the ball, where is that Trubisky? I use the words positive regression a lot, or at least taking a step up in Mitchell Trubisky's case. And one of the stats that really caught my eye over the last couple weeks when I've been reading up on advanced stats, and those are one of my key things when I'm keying in on NFL futures or week one lines, week two lines, whatever it may be, is the advanced stats department. And Warren Sharp had a phenomenal piece on the Bears. In five of their first six games, they had a success rate in the passing offense of at least 52%. They only hit that number in three of their next 12 games. And you think about how Matt Nagy scripts plays, especially in the early portion of games, in the early portion of seasons. So you might say, well, that's going to happen again, and the Packers or the Bears offense is going to have success once again in the beginning part of the season, and it's going to fall off in the latter part. But at the same time, defenses are preparing for that. They're preparing for what happened in the first half of the season. So I'm not bullish on the Bears, and I'm not looking at it from the perspective of Vegas knows something in this situation.
Eli, we get a little taster of college football, two games coming up this weekend. Any futures that you're looking at, or any week one lines that maybe I should circle, or a guy I know should circle?
Let's start off with week zero, man. You can't just shift ahead to week one.
Right.
Yeah, I'm looking at Miami, Florida. The first college football game of the season. Let's go. It's 7 o'clock. I can't wait. I can't wait for that one. And I'm looking at the first half under, especially with Miami starting a redshirt freshman in Jaren Williams over the Ohio State transfer. And you're looking at an offensive coordinator in Dan Enos that while he had some success at Alabama, it's not like he was calling plays per se last season, but he also in his past, he coached and he was the offensive coordinator and the quarterbacks coach at Arkansas, a team obviously Florida knows in the SEC. So not only do you have the redshirt freshman starting in Williams, but you have an offensive coordinator that the opposition knows fairly well. So even if Williams picks it up in the second half, that's why I like the first half under on that side of the ball. And then while Miami did lose a lot defensively, they still had the best unit on that side of the ball in terms of havoc rate. So when I'm talking about havoc rate, that includes pass deflections, forced fumbles, all the things that you think about when you're talking about a defense. Again, really the definition of havoc is just creating pressure, especially in sports, on the offensive side of the ball. So I'm a big fan of Miami's defense, even though they've lost a considerable amount. Still playmakers, especially in the back seven, and I think the first half under is the play. We've already seen movement on that line. It opened about 50 is the total, so first half around 25 over under, and we've seen a little movement in the other direction. Now it's first half under over at 24. So I'd be looking at the under in that regard.
Eli, is there any college team that you kind of got your eye on, you know, mid-major, any small college, whatever, that you got your eye on that's going to be a good number winner for you this year?
Well, I'm not necessarily in the mid-major market in terms of futures when I'm eyeing down the road. It's incredible when you're looking at against the spread production in that regard, when you're talking about mid-majors. And I know the A-10 isn't considered a mid-major, but over the last 4 years, you brought that up and it just popped into my head when I was looking up some trends. Temple is 40-21 mm-hmm. against the spread over the last 4 years, and that's the best against the spread record in college football. So if you're looking for some non-conference support, Temple could be the play. Also, when you're looking at a school that is not known for football and you're looking at week one, if we're shifting ahead 1 week in the college football season, and I have my eyes circled on Alabama and Duke. Mm. Alabama lane 33.5, and that's a team under Nick Saban that we've seen take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit, especially in the second half of games when they're up a considerable margin, and you expect that to be the case. Even though they're on the road at Duke, we've seen two of their starting quarterback who's a Heisman candidate. We've seen his respective share of injuries last season, and we saw it in the SEC championship game, and we might have seen that play a little bit into his performance against Clemson in the college football playoff title game. So I expect to see that from Alabama in the mix there too. And you're looking at they're against the spread record, specifically over the last 3 to 4 seasons against the spread in non-conference play. And it's around 9-14. So again, that proves I'm not a big trends guy when I'm making my bets, but when you're trying to find trends that actually apply to the theory that you're looking to bet on, and again, when Alabama takes their foot off the gas pedal in the second half of games in non-conference play, then that trend does prove worthy.
Eli, any update on the sports gambling that's going to be allowed in Illinois? Any update on when that's going to get rolling?
Yeah, I would think it's going to happen when I'm gauging it and when I've been looking at it over the last couple of weeks. Obviously, you have a casino opening up in Hammond, so that's a good place for especially Bears fans. If they want to bet, I'm sure they're going to pound Bears -3.5 in Hammond. But yeah, I would expect it to have to happen after the Super Bowl. That's just my hunch. There's such a high tax rate on mm-hmm. that's what they're trying to push in the betting in for sports betting in Illinois, and it's even higher than Pennsylvania tax. That's where I'm at in Philadelphia right now. And the tax on sports betting is around 32%, which is just insane.
Does that mean juice? Does that mean juice?
Yes.
What?
Yes, correct.
So if I win $100, I got to pay a tax on it right away?
Yes. Or if you want to take your cash out, if you want to pull out of your other bankroll,
so don't
correct.
Piss off your local bookie, is what he's trying to tell you.
Oh my
god! Of course.
Yes, everybody. Long live the local guy, because you know, why would you even want to play at a brick and mortar place if it's 32%? You can't win that way.
Exactly, and that's what a lot of people obviously don't have bookies, and they want to push people away from offshore sites and using the likes of DraftKings and FanDuel. FanDuel is legal in Pennsylvania, but I know in the bill that was passed in Illinois for sports betting, DraftKings and FanDuel off the list, at least for the first, I think, 18 months or so. So you got to go to a local sports book, and boy, they're going to make you literally pay.
Wow.
He is Eli Hershkovich. And Eli, I want to talk a little bit about the new show before we let you go. Radio.com/sports. You better, you bet. I see it's Monday through Friday. You guys just started yesterday. Great first episode. You guys are on Sunday mornings, which is huge come football season. 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. You could tell us what time that is, Central, because you and I went back and forth yesterday about how dumb I am with time zones. Radio.com/sports, though. Tell us a little bit about it. I know it's you, Nick Costos, Joe O, Danny Parkins, Ross Tucker. What do you guys got going on with it?
Yeah, last night was an absolute blast. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, a.k.a. Rocky Lockerson, on Twitter. A lot of NFL talk, a lot of college football. The best part about this show is we're trying to find you, the listener, the viewer value and the line or the futures market. And like I mentioned with the Packers getting 3.5 points in week one, there are always market inefficiencies. And like Chuck mentioned, the Packers, if they were at home, they would probably be favored by 3 points. So you're talking about a couple of teams that are valued the same in Vegas, but the Bears are just getting the extra 3 or laying the extra 3 because they're at home. So we're always looking for those sorts of angles. You can catch us from 5 to 9 Central Time. Download the Radio.com app, and also you can watch it on Radio.com as well. You could watch, you could listen, you could subscribe on iTunes. Our first show is up in the podcast department on iTunes, and it's also up on Radio.com. So lots to look forward to with the show. Again, it's a mix of sports betting. We're going to make you laugh along the way. Some great sports betting tales on the podcast from last night from one Ken Barkley. So be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast and also listen to it from 5 to 9 Central. Watch it as well. It's a Radio.com sports original. You better, you bet.
That was Radio.com sports betting insider Eli Hershkovich. Insider calls brought to you by Indeed. Post the job today at Indeed.com/hire. Thanks, Eli. Have a good one,
Eli.
Buddy.
Good stuff.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Eli Hershkovich, find him, radio.com/sports. We got to take a quick break when we come back. Mike Clemens is going to join the show. We'll get the latest from Green Bay. But first, Chuck, I need the latest on Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com, guys are going there, and they're correcting a few things in the bedroom. Same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. Here's what happens, guys. You go to BlueChew.com. You go with you talk to an affiliated physician. They work with you. They find the dosage and the ingredients that is best for you, and you're all set to go, man. You consult with an online consultant, a physician, and everything checks out, and you'll get the packaging right to your house, right to your office, right to your apartment, wherever you live, wherever you want it delivered. It's all good, man. These chewables from BlueChew.com, they, like I mentioned, twice as fast as Viagra and Cialis, and guys are stepping up to the plate, and they're hitting that grand slam. They're not bouncing out on a 6-4-3 double play at the bases loaded, man. They are connecting and going a long, long ways. Chewables from BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, prescribed online by a doctor, made right here in the United States. And here's the deal for you guys out there. Visit BlueChew.com, get your first order free. When you use the promo code Chuck, you pay the $5 in shipping, and that's it. That's BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. I was up in Escanaba this weekend, golfing on a course out there, and I ran into some of our fans, some of our listeners, and a guy shouted out, "Frames, BlueChew!" Hey, when they're putting your name with a product, you know things are going well. BlueChew.com. I bet you that guy took advantage that weekend in Escanaba, and you can too. You don't have to go to Escanaba to get this. You can be right here in our great state of Wisconsin. BlueChew, BlueChew.com, promo code Chuck. Your first order is free. You pay the $5 in shipping if you use the promo code Chuck. BlueChew.com, chew it and do it.
Mike Clemens joins us next here on Chuck and Winkler, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Revo guy. It's kind of a give and take. It's a, you know, risk reward look. You know, you of course you always want certain people out there as much as possible, but at the same time, you want to be ready for that opening day. I think that's always the most important thing. So I think that you know, as we look at it, we just want to do what's best for the team and what's best for Aaron, and we just have to always push him mentally.
Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, brought to you by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We've been talking a lot of Packer football today. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart Winkler, who's on assignment. What is an elite NFL quarterback? And with that topic, we go to the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. We check in with our own Packer reporter, Mike Clemens. Mike, how you doing today, bud?
Hey, Mike.
Very good. We'd finished up our last training camp practice. It was open to the public yesterday. Lasted about 2 hours, and now today, it's, you know, they put up the tarp around the fence, and we get to go on there and watch about half of practice, because today will feel like a Friday in the regular season. LaFleur moved practices to 1:15 in the afternoon. That's the way it'll be during the regular season. So for the next 2 weeks here, until you get to the prep week for the Bears, these guys now are more like on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday practice schedule to get ready for the games.
Do you get the impression from these guys that they are ready to get done with these practices to start the season?
No. Right now, Chuck, half the locker room, 37 guys have got their minds on having a good game tomorrow night because they're trying to get a job.
Yeah.
So, you know, roster cuts are on everybody's mind. You know, the starters, the veterans, they're probably looking ahead a little bit about getting ready for Bears Week. Whereas McCarthy would started in his last couple of years, you know, he would start preparing for some of those openers like the Seahawks. He would have, during training camp, he'd take the starters inside for like 20 minutes, and they'd start running through plays that they were going to use Week 1, you know, while there's still 2 weeks of training camp left.
That's
and,
right.
You know, kids on the field trying to get jobs and stuff. I haven't seen any of that from LaFleur. I see LaFleur's, my estimate of Fleur has gone up tremendously in the last 2 weeks, and it started with the joint practices against the Texans. Guy didn't flinch. I like the way what I see from his game operations when he's running the game. I like the Mike Pettine explanation of why he's decided to move from the press box down to the sideline as defensive coordinator. Most coordinators in the NFL like to be up top so they can look down. It's so much easier for them to figure out what the opponent is doing, not only on the field, but to start figure out some of their substitutions and personnel groups. So by the end of the first quarter, you kind of think they've got their game plan worked out. So it's either that, or you got to have somebody upstairs that you really trust that can scout that stuff so that you can be down on the field and inspire players and, you know, get in their face, that kind of thing. And LaFleur, and so Mike Pettine has moved down to the sidelines. And, Chuck, you know why? Because he complained about that walk that you and I have got from the seventh floor down to the locker room.
Oh, that's brutal. Yeah, especially when it's cold outside.
The catwalk. He said, you know, you guys are in the press box at halftime having something to eat. You know, he goes, I'm racing. He says, I'm white knuckled trying to figure out, is this the time I leave the game, like with 2 minutes left in the half?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and he said, these halftimes are very long, and they got to take those golf carts and race down there and then take an elevator and then take another thing and then get off and get in there. And maybe they got 7 minutes to talk to the trainers, like who's hurt, who can play, what did you guys see on the field, come up with a game plan for the second. You've got 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, I'm staying on the sidelines because I think my halftimes at Lambeau Field will be better.
So, Clem, your opinion on LaFleur has changed. I mean, are you skeptical about LaFleur prior to the final 2 weeks? Because you said you things have changed with him, your opinion of him.
All I heard from Mark Murphy, Gutekunst, and after about a month or two of OTAs and mini camps from players is, what's LaFleur like? And everybody just says, well, smart. Everybody just said he was smart. But you've heard in these press conferences, I mean, has this guy lit a fire in your belly for football? I mean, and where's the motivational part? But as this guy's a poker player. He plays his cards one at a time, and with each chapter, you realize he knows what he's doing. He knows how to run an NFL team. Yesterday we had a two-minute drill, and they were going like 75% speed. I'm like, well, what are you doing that? Well, I'm saving their legs. It's 2 days out. He's got all this stuff down, the GPS and all that. He just doesn't talk about it as much to the point where, you know, McCarthy just would ramble on with some of that stuff. But in terms of how he's running his practices and all that, he's got a method. Now, right now, though, that coaching staff is very frustrated because they had a horrible practice on Sunday. Horrible. And what was most frustrating for them is that they're coming off a game against the Ravens in which he himself said, boy, the Ravens were a more physical team than us. And so he told his defensive players on Sunday, hit the guys a little bit harder, okay? Go ahead and wrap up. And a couple of times running backs went down to the ground. But he also said, you know, listen, we're going to script this out. It's going to be Deshaun Kizer and Tim Boyle, you know, at quarterback, and Dexter Williams at running back, and we'll do all this prep. And they screwed up the very first play. And he was really frustrated. Like, we just went through this all day Saturday. How could you not, you know, execute these plays? So he's very frustrated about what's the coaching staff missing and not getting their message through to these second and third stringers to perform better and execute his offensive game plan.
Mike, I was a little frustrated not seeing Aaron Rodgers on the field Thursday night. I completely understand, but do you feel like even if we do see him, let's say this Thursday against the Raiders, what are they going to show? Like, what kind of looks offensively? Because you don't want to give your whole playbook up with Matt LaFleur's new system before week one in Chicago.
Well, Ryan, we talked to Rodgers yesterday, and the guy was just awesome. Okay, so about the back injury, it flared up. He gave a variety of reasons why these things, you know, have happened in the past. This is why the one thing that bothers me the most about Aaron Rodgers was a year or two ago when he was kind of vying for the contract and said, I'd like to, you know, play as a Packer and play till I'm 40 years old. It's like, don't do that, man. The game decides when you quit. Mm-hmm. Ask Tony Romo, who, by the way, had to quit because of back injuries. Rodgers yesterday said, yeah, the back thing flared up. It was tight. It was actually felt better by the time we got to the Ravens game, but we, you know, just decided to play it safe. The reason that Aaron Rodgers has only played in about, was it six series in the last 3 years in preseason, is because he doesn't need it. He said, you know, we played the Texans in the joint practices, and suddenly we went away from our Matt LaFleur playbook to this very vanilla thing that we're never going to run. And we lost a couple of practices. And you get in these preseason games, and guys are, he said, the Raiders tend to run a little bit more saucy stuff on defense. But for the most part, he talked about yesterday, listen, look at how much intensity. He said, we run our practices as if they're game-like conditions.
I think it's the way we practice. You know, the way that we practice, we do a number of periods where it is a call-it period, where it's an unscripted move-the-ball type, where he's calling the plays in, I have to get us obviously lined up and the play, you know, given to the guys in the right manner and alignments and assignments and movement and motion. And we've done a number of those periods. I think that's the work that gives you confidence that this is not going to be a growing process from a play caller to, you know, quarterback standpoint. You know, it is what it is. The preseason you don't carry those wins over to the regular season. I think it, I do find it interesting that some teams get a pass this time of year. I mean, the Rams don't play anybody, and not many people talk about that fact. Now, the counter would be, well, this is a new system. I get it, but we've spent a number of practices now from May and June and training camp in July and now in August running this stuff, running unscripted periods where he has to call the play in. I mean, I feel very comfortable in the offense conceptually, philosophically, enunciating the plays, get us in the right formation, getting the checks within the play easily figured out. You know, I feel very comfortable with it. So if we didn't play, I'd feel great going into week one. If we did, I wouldn't really be worried too much about the results. I mean, if we go down and score a touchdown, it's not going to give me any more confidence than I already have in the scheme. If we go three and out, it's not going to dampen any confidence that I have in what we've established so far in the training camp practices.
See, Clem, if Aaron is okay with them, him not playing it down in the preseason, and LaFleur's okay with it, why is everybody all out arms if he doesn't play it down in this in these exhibition games?
Because you know what, people have not. He really revealed some stuff right there that heretofore we weren't necessarily. I mean, you're standing there watching, and mm-hmm. you see LaFleur with a headset on, and he's calling plays, but you don't actually realize that what you just saw was unscripted. That Rodgers is going up against Mike Pettine's very best defense. That Pettine's throwing the kitchen sink at him in terms of the shifts and everything. And so what he's basically saying is, I'm getting more challenged by Pettine in practice than any of the guys that I would face in four games. You know, the preseason is not about the scoreboard. It's about the one-on-one battles. And can you physically beat your guy across the line? Can a wide receiver beat a defensive back, you know, on a route? It's not about strategy. Well, Aaron Rodgers, as you know, is all about the chessboard and strategy.
Mike, all the conversation for the past 48 hours on the station and with the national media is Aaron Rodgers still an elite quarterback? What is an elite quarterback to you?
Well, you know, I suppose it's got to do with Super Bowl rings and stats and how sustained success. You know, did you have a long career? I mean, those are all the things that lead to whether or not you're going to be voted into Canton, into the Pro Football Hall of Fame when they vote the day before the Super Bowl. But for me, it's what the players tell me. And I heard you guys talking about this, and so I dug this up. This is an interview I did with Tremont Williams several years ago. And here's a guy who, let's see, Tremont came in 2005. So he got to practice against Brett Favre for 2 or 3 years. Now it's October of 2009, and it was a year then before the Packers actually became a Super Bowl team. And they had young Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback going on their second year. And on October, on Monday night, October 5th, we're up there at the Metrodome, and it's Packers against the Vikings and Favre. And Tremont said he lined up as a 3 or 4 year defensive back up against line, and there came four onto the field wearing that purple, and this is what went through Tremont's mind.
You know, when I first played him when he came to Minnesota, I felt that was the first time that I realized, okay, this is what a great quarterback is. You know, because he came in and, you know, he played well. That's the first time I said back, this is what a great quarterback is. And for me to experience that, it was awesome.
It's when the dude gets in your head. It's when the quarterback walks on the field, it's like, oh, my God, this guy's a competitor. He's got an arm. He knows every disguise our defense has. And dudes are out there shaking in their boots like, what's he going to do next?
Right. That's crazy, man. Thanks, Mike. That's great stuff.
Thanks, Clem.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, buddy.
That's Mike Clemens. You could find him here, 105.7 FM, The Fan, and all of his good content. You got to go to 105.7fmthefan.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for our golf outing, too. Mike joined us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019. Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll be back to wrap things up here on Chuck and Winkler. Next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Ryan Horvath filling in for Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman in his usual spot. Chuck, I am starving right now as usual around 10 a.m. I'm going to go home and do some grilling. I don't think, well, it looks like it might rain, but hey, regardless.
No matter if it's 20 below zero.
I'm going in the garage.
Absolutely. Well, keep it away from the garage in case that flame hits the roof and then you'll have a bigger barbecue than you might want. But grilling out from Robert's Specialty Meats, man, hey, a lot of people just grill out in the summertime or the fall or the spring, but this is ideal, especially with Labor Day weekend. Labor Day is always one of my favorite weekends of the year because it's good grilling out, golf and grilling out, getting home from golf and grilling out. And the meats from Robert's Specialty Meats are first class. Paul Roberts has lots of delicious options to make dinner time the best time of the day. The hand-cut USDA steaks, the prime beef tenderloins, the gourmet burgers, the beef brisket burgers, the half-pounders are outstanding. Put them on a bun. I put some A1 sauce on it. I know Paul doesn't like to hear that, but I like putting the A1 sauce on those gourmet burgers. Plenty more. The brats, they have over 30 types of original brats and sausages. The Al Capone Italian sausage, bursting with zesty flavors. And, of course, when you go to Roberts, not only do you like their steaks, the burgers, the sausages, but by all means, pick up at least 3 or 4 pounds of the Roberts ribs on a stick, marinate it in the zesty sauce, a couple of minutes each side on your grill, and you are good to go. They won't even make your dinner table. I'll tell you, Roberts Specialty Meats in Waukesha, Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Visit them online, robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com. Roberts Specialty Meats, Sunset Drive in Waukesha on the south side. Paul Roberts will be out there at our golf outing. And, of course, don't wait for the golf outing. Stop on out today. You might even catch me there this week. For the best of meats, it's Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher. Do I hear our music? Is it time to go already?
Already time to go. Bill Michaels coming up 10 a.m. Kevin Harlan joining Bill Michaels. They'll talk some Packer football. We want to thank all of our guests, Adam McKelvey, Mike Clemens, Eli Hershkovich. We're back tomorrow recapping Cardinals-Brewers Game 2. Enjoy your morning, Milwaukee.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.